first song played on the moon was? Well, if you listen to Raise a Glass, you would. I'm Jim Fisher, and each Saturday I bring you that day's musical almanac. Everything from notable releases to birthdays to obituaries. It's an hour of eclectic music with some great trivia and stories thrown in. That's Raise a Glass at its new time, Saturday mornings at 10. And all of my shows are available in the archives at xray.fm.
X-Ray is thrilled to announce that we are officially moving to our new home in Southeast Portland.
In partnership with Kickstand Comedy, X-Ray's new headquarters will be at the corner of Southeast 10th and Hawthorne beginning this fall.
Our transition to this new location will enable X-Ray to make better radio and engage with the public in a new accessible arts and civics hub, where we will host a broad array of events and gatherings. Go to xray.fm to learn more about the move and how you can help.
Well, that was a mess. Let me tell you, you are listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 FM, K296 FT West Haven serving Portland at 107.1 FM, and K219 KU Nehalem serving the Oregon coast at 91.7 FM. Streaming live and archived at xray.fm. Stay tuned now for Reimagined Radio.
Lights out.
It is later than you think.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
Welcome to Reimagined Radio, a program about sound-based storytelling. With each episode, we explore how dialogue, sound effects, and music can engage your listening imagination and promote storytelling. Here to tell you about this episode is John Barber, producer and host.
Hello, everyone. This episode is Lights Out, the conclusion of a three-part tribute to the radio storytelling of Willis Cooper. An earlier episode sampled from Cooper's Whitehall 1212, a program about the Black Museum, a collection of ordinary objects housed at Scotland Yard, headquarters for London's Metropolitan Police. All these objects are touched by crime and death. We next presented two episodes from Cooper's series Quiet, Please, often acclaimed as the most creative in the crowded field of thriller mysteries. This episode focuses on Lights Out, stories of the unusual. It's an interesting episode. Stick around and listen to three classic examples. For more information and the episode script, visit our website, reimaginedradio.fm. Thanks for listening as Reimagined Radio presents Lights Out. Willis Cooper created the Lights Out radio series in 1934. He wrote the early episodes, frequently experimenting with stream of consciousness and internal monologue. Lured to Hollywood to write motion picture scripts in 1936, Cooper passed the torch to Arch Obler, a young and eager writer in Chicago, Illinois. Obler elevated the series' themes of mysteries, the supernatural, and the supernormal, often highlighted with gory, horrific sound effects, and pushed the stream of consciousness and internal monologue narrative forms to the point where the pioneering work of Cooper is all but forgotten. We feature one story from the Cooper era, Man in the Middle, and two by Obler, The State Executioner and Chicken Heart. Let's begin with The State Executioner, broadcast twice in the Obler era of Lights Out, 1937 and 1943. Here is Obler introducing the April 17, 1943 broadcast.
Tonight's Lights Out presents another psychological drama, a play in which the principal part is taken not by the character himself, but by his thoughts. The voice you are about to hear is that of the thoughts of one Samuel Jones, the state executioner for His Majesty George III. He sits alone in a dismal room, and these are his thoughts.
I want to be dead, dead, dead. Do you feel anything when you're dead? Are you hungry? Are you cold? Are you tired when you're dead? No. When I'm dead, I'll have peace, peace. I've got to have peace. Kill myself. Yes. Bullet in my heart. The pain. I don't like pain, but it can't hurt. They say it doesn't hurt, only hanging hurts. I know it does. I've seen their faces when they cut them down purple, black. I've seen their faces when the masks came off and there's pain in them. Pain that twists their faces, grinds their teeth, and gives them living hell until at last they die. That's why I've got to use this pistol to kill myself. I can't stand pain. All I want is peace. Peace. It's getting late. I've got to do it quick before they get here. I ran much faster than they did, but they'll get here quick enough. I've got to be dead when they come in through that door. They can't bother the dead in their grave. I'll be dead, dead, deep, deep in the grave. Why should they blame me? I only did my duty. Someone's got to be the hangman. Someone's got... And there I was, executioner for His Majesty. 5 guineas, a broken neck. 777 hangings in 20 years. 777 broken necks, and mine the hand that sprung the trap. 777 times. And now the hand's got a pistol in it. When they reach here, when they knock on that door, I'll press the trigger, and so I won't have them face them. None of them. 777 broken necks, and no one knew that I was the man who did it. Not even she knew it. Ellen, my own wife, not even she. I met her, married her, and she didn't know until that day.
Don't touch me, hangman.
All right, that's what I am, hangman, hangman.
Hangman.
Yes, hangman, hangman. Say it again and again. What do I care? I like being a hangman. You hear me? I like being a hangman.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
Here's something more.
No, Sam.
I like killing them.
No.
I like the way they stumble when they walk up the stairs.
No.
I like the cold whiteness of their skins when I put the noose around their necks. I like the way everyone looks at me, watches me, and then the crash of the rope stretches. Sometimes their legs kick in the air and you hear them heaving for a little while. They can't get past the tightened rope around their neck.
No, 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 Sam. No, Sam. No. No, I won't stay with you. I won't, hangman. I won't stay with you. I'll go away. I'll go away. I'll go away.
I thought she wouldn't leave me, but she did. Ellen left me. I looked all over, couldn't find her. After a while, I didn't care. What's a woman? I had my work. Hanging work. 5 guineas a hanging and gold coin. 5 of them. 5 golden guineas. I like the sound of them. I like the sound of them. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5. I bought a strong box and kept them there. Every hanging meant 5 more. Paying me, they were for what I liked to do. It was funny, very funny. I didn't miss her. No, why should I? I had my work. I got to be good at my work. The courts were good, too. They gave me plenty to do. I tried out different ways. I made a hanging machine with springs and sandbags that jerked the man into the air first and then dropped him through a trap. I tried out different ropes and different running nooses. Oh, I got to be good at it in 20 years, real good. Ticking, ticking, stop ticking. I hear you, blasted clock. I hear you. What are you trying to tell me? I know. There isn't much time left. They'll be here soon. Let them come, let them come. I'm ready. Pistol in my hand, I'm ready. For the first knock on the door, I won't be here to hear them. I'll have peace and quiet. Whatever they say to me, I won't hear it because I'll be dead. And why should they say it? What's done is done. 777 of them. It was fun because each died different. 777 different hangings. It was fun, I tell you, fun, fun. I like them fine. And 5 guineas just the same for having fun. 5 guineas. What's that at the door? I heard a sound. No. I just imagine no one's knocking. If they knock, I press the trigger. They won't get me, not me. 777 at 5 guineas each. Coins that bit into my flesh when I grabbed them tight. I like the sound. Money, money, yellow money. First, I like the hangings best, and then the money. Then I got to like them both. Watching. Eager around the courtrooms, this trial, that trial. Would they hang him? Would they hang her? Would the judge say guilty? If he did, matter hanging another 5 guineas. Oh, I'll watch for business, new business, my business. Hang them up and watch them die. When will they knock on the door? When? Pistol's heavy in my hand. He used a pistol, too, they said. Tom Allen. I read about him in the court announcement one day when I was outside of the courtroom looking for new business. Hanging business.
Thomas Allen, 20-year-old law student, was charged by the city police with having murdered his sweetheart, Lorraine Hamilton, 19-year-old daughter of Arvin Hamilton. Young Allen denied the charge vigorously. He stated that the girl had sent him a letter in which he told of her intentions of committing suicide. But at a late hour, Allen was unable to produce this letter. He was held without bond at the tower in the church.
Yes, that's what it said. That's what it said. He'd murdered her, young girl. The minute I read it, I said to myself, Sam Jones is the next one. I could hear the money clinking in my hand already. And Tom Allen hanging by his neck. What am I thinking about? What am I... Why don't they come and knock on the door and let me get this over with? I need the knocking on the door to give me nerve enough to press the trigger. This waiting, waiting... I waited for Tom Allen, too. I waited for them to say guilty to him so I could put the running noose around his neck. I waited, waited, going every day to the trial. The prosecutor for the Crown said...
Guilty.
The young man's solicitor said...
Not guilty.
The young man said...
I didn't do it. I tell you, I didn't do it. She did it herself. She wrote me a letter saying that she was killing herself. She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, that's what he said. She wrote me a letter saying she was killing herself. But where was the letter? Where was the letter? Nobody knew. Couldn't find it. And day after day, sitting there in the courtroom, I could see the noose coming close and close. A few days more and he'd be dancing on air. Another 5 guineas in my box. Such a pity, such a handsome young man, strong young neck for my rope. I say he didn't have a chance. Yes, I sat there and I felt good, because I saw that young fellow didn't have a chance. My noose was getting closer, closer to his neck. And then the black cap on the judge's head.
For this vicious crime against the order and security of the Crown, you, Thomas Allen, are hereby condemned to be hanged by the neck until dead.
No, no, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, I tell you. I didn't. I'm innocent. I didn't do it, I tell you. I
then I had him. All his yelling, all his screaming wouldn't do any good. I had him. All ready for my noose. Guilty. I wanted to go up and thank the judges. Gave me business, hanging business, devil's business. Why don't they hurry up and get here? Wouldn't have to think anymore. Knock on the door, I wouldn't have to think. Fingers squeeze the trigger. Finished piece. I won't have to think. I wouldn't have to think what happened then, what happened after they said the boy was guilty. They put him in a cell. Death cell. The door shut tight. And I stood and watched. They put him in a cell. 5 golden guineas in a cell. A few more weeks and he'd be mine to teach that dancing lesson on thin air. I counted every day until they'd give him to me. I peeked along the corridor, watching his cell. The warden of the prison said,
Well, Sam, it certainly looks as if you're going to have another customer. I suppose you heard about it. The king refused young Allen's last appeal. He hangs in 2 more days. We'll try to make his going as easy as we can. I like the lad. Too bad about that letter, he says the girl wrote him. Well, no use talking about it. We've got to do our duty. Oh, by the way, you're going past the cell? Here. Here's some books of his. His landlady sent him. Thought he might like to read them while he had the time. Take them with you, Sam, and give them to him. It'll be his last time to read.
So I took the books along. Why not? Why not? Reading wouldn't save that neck. I started down the corridors with his books. Down the corridors toward the death cell. Something white fell out of one of his books, and I picked it up. It was a letter, and it read...
Dear Tom, I told you I was going to kill myself, and now I'm going to do it. By the time you get this, the police ought to be accusing you of murder. since undoubtedly all those people who heard us quarrel the other night will be testifying that you killed me. That's the main reason I'm sending you this letter, so that you will have some proof that the poison they'll find in me was self-administered. Forgive me. I'm just tired of living.
And it was her name signed to it, hers, that girl's. The one they said he'd killed. This was the letter. The letter he'd been yelling about. The letter he wanted to save his neck. But his neck belonged to me already. 5 guineas. I stuffed the letter deeper in my pocket and just waited until the night. The warden...
Well, Sam, it looks as if we're going to have to go through with it. Now, I want everything done properly and no mistake. Going to have a large visitors gallery. Very distinguished people. Say, and that reminds me, there's been some woman trying to see you all day. Some woman. Don't know who she is, Sam. She says she's got to see you.
Well, I wasn't seeing any woman, not that night. There was my work to do. See that everything was ready. The rope was ready. Everything perfect for a perfect hanging. It grew later and later. I could hear him in the death cell pleading with the minister.
But you've got to help me, sir. You've got to. You've got to get the king. He's got to believe that I didn't kill her. I didn't. Oh, won't anyone believe me? She wrote me a letter. She wrote me a letter in which she said she killed herself. She wrote me a letter, I tell you. She wrote me a letter.
Yes, a letter. The letter was in my pocket, and there it was going to stay until it was all over. He couldn't live. He couldn't live now. I'd waited too long. It had been such a long time since they'd given me a good, strong neck to hang. They couldn't cheat me now. At last, it was the hour. They came for him in his cell. They led him down the corridor. And then they were marching him up the stairs to the gallows. I was waiting. The rope was in my hand. The boy looked up at me. His lips moved. He said,
"I tell you, I didn't do it. The letter.
Black hood over his head.
The letter, I didn't kill her. The letter, I tell you, I didn't do it.
The crap. His heart.
This man is dead.
It was done. This man is dead. 5 golden guineas, the warden said.
Good work, Sam. Broke his neck.
I went out into the street. I was walking home. I felt real good. 5 golden guineas. A woman came up to me and said...
Are you Sam Jones?
Yes, that's me. What do you want? I haven't got time
to... You'll have time to listen to me, hangman.
Who are you?
Look at me.
Ellen?
Yes, Ellen.
Wife?
Wife no longer, hangman. No mother either.
Eh?
No mother either, and you're the thing that's done it.
Oh, wait, what...
I tried to reach you. I tried to tell you. They said you wouldn't see me. What could I do? What could I do? Your hand did it. Yours, hangman, yours.
What are you talking about, woman? Why?
Tonight, Tom Allen. My maiden name was Allen. Don't you understand? You hung Tom Allen.
Well, and so I did. What of it, woman? What of it?
Tom Allen, hangman, was your son.
No.
Your son, you hear me, hangman, your son, you hung your son, you hung your son, your son, you hung your son, your son, your son, you hung your
son. I began to run. Down the street, away from her, running. A man stepped out of the shadows, he stopped me, I couldn't see his face.
You killed my brother 7 years ago this night, hangman.
I said, no, leave me alone, leave me alone. I kept on running. A woman stopped me.
You killed my brother 7 years ago.
You hung my father, monster. You hung my father 11 years ago.
No, I said, no, let me go. I kept on running, but they kept after me, yelling, screaming. I kept on running, faster. New voices joined them. I looked back. The street was black with hundreds chasing me, yelling, screaming. I'd hung their sons, fathers, brothers. The street was black with them, I tell you, and every one of them akin to one of the 777 that had felt my rope. Chasing me. Hundreds of them yelling, screaming after my life, wanting my blood. Hands outstretched like claws to catch me, tear my flesh and stretch my eyes up. Running, looking, catch me, no! That's the way I did it. Slammed the door, lost a pack of them. Every one of them, wives and sons and brothers of the 777. But they'll find me. They're searching me out. They're searching now. Yes, they'll find me. That's why my finger's on the pistol. The mob won't get me. Funny mob they were.
They're not bodies, just heads. Heads of people chasing me and yelling. They won't get me. No, they won't. When they find me here, when they knock on that door, I'll kill myself. And... they're here outside the door.
You won't get me. Not you. Yes, I hung your sons, husbands, killed your friends, lovers, but that's not all. I hung my son. You hear me? Hung my son for 5 guineas. Hung my son.
Yes. Come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die.
And you mean to say he yelled out for you to come in and then he shot himself?
Yes, sir. It's the gold's truth. I knocked on the door. He yelled, come in. Come in, all of you, and see me die. And when I opened the door, bing, he did it.
And what were you banging on his door for this early in the morning? What were you after?
After nothing. I was looking for McDonald. His next house. I just knocked on the wrong door.
That was The State Executioner, an episode of Lights Out written by Arch Obler, who took over from series creator Willis Cooper in 1936. Like Cooper, Obler used internal monologue, the thoughts inside the heads of his characters, to move his narratives along. The State Executioner is a great example. Special thanks if you're listening on KXRY FM, 99.1 and 107.1, Portland, Oregon, streaming at xray.fm. Next is perhaps the Lights Out classic, Chicken Heart. Written and introduced by Arch Obler, Chicken Heart was inspired by a newspaper article about scientists keeping a chicken heart alive after being removed from the chicken. Obler's Chicken Heart was first heard in 1937 and repeated in 1938 and 1942. Apparently, no recordings were made of these live broadcasts. So while the story and script survive, we have no record of how the original broadcasts might have sounded. In 1962, Obler released 7 abridged tales on a record album, Drop Dead, An Exercise in Horror. This iteration of Chicken Heart, not quite 8 minutes long, was included. Obler introduces this iteration of Chicken Heart. Let's listen.
Do you remember some time ago, in an Eastern scientific institution, they kept a piece of heart alive for weeks on end? Well, I got to thinking, what if that heart began to grow? And grow, and grow, and grow?
Please, gentlemen, please, quiet, quiet, please, please, please now. Here is Dr. Alberts of the Research Institute. Let him speak. Step up here, doctor. Do something.
Let's see what he says.
Gentlemen, it was in my institute this horror began. And if you give me a chance, perhaps I can stop it.
What is it, doctor? Tell us first what that monster really is.
Yes. Yes, I will tell you. That great, ever-growing mass of flesh. It is, or it was, a chicken heart, the tissue of which, for some reason, is undergoing constant, rapid, accelerating growth. With every passing hour, its growth is doubling. Do you know what that means? If it is now 1 block in size, within 30 hours, that cannibal flesh will have increased in size to 1 square block to the 30th power. In 30 hours, every inch of this whole city will be crushed under that moving flesh. Within 60 hours, it will have covered the entire state. Within 2 weeks, the entire United States. You ask for the National Guard. I say, call out the entire army.
All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. General mobilization order.
Battery in position, sir.
Commence firing on the hour.
Yes, sir.
10, 5, 0.
Commence firing! Fire!
Useless. It has grown too large, and it grows too quickly. The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
You all right now, Dr. Alberts?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, Mr. Lynch. I'm all right.
Well, I sure am glad I located you. I stalled as long as I could, another 10 minutes, and we couldn't have taken off. That blasted protoplasm, or whatever it is, was sucking at the wheels by the time we left the ground.
Yes. Yes, I saw.
5,000 feet. Well, we'll cruise around up here for a few minutes and then head west.
It will do no good.
You can't mean it. It must stop growing sometime. It must.
Look at it down there. The gray blankets of evil covering everything. See how the roads are black with men and women and their children running for their lives. See how the protoplasmic gray reaches out and engulfs them. See.
Stop it! Stop talking like that. We'll get away. The government, they'll send bombing planes, poison gas.
No hope. Listen to me, Lewis. You remember only a handful of days ago you asked me my prophecy of the end of the earth? You remember my answer? Oh, such a scholarly prophecy. Cessation of earth rotation. Mighty sounding astronomical theories. But now, this is reality, Lewis. The end has come for humanity. Not in the red of atomic fusion. Not in the glory of interstellar combustion. Not in the peace of white, cold silence. But with that creeping, grasping flesh below us. It is a joke, hey, Lewis. A great joke. The joke of the cosmos. The end of mankind.
Why?
Because of a chicken's heart.
No! No, we won't die. I can't die. I'll find a safe landing somewhere. I'll find a place. The motor, it's cut out. We're in a spin. I can't get out of it.
I told you, doomed.
No, no.
All mankind, doomed.
No, we're falling right into it, into the heart.
You're listening to Reimagined Radio. Our episode is Lights Out, part 3 of our tribute to radio writer Willis Cooper. We just listened to samples from Chicken Heart, often called one of the most famous radio dramas ever. Next, let's listen to Man in the Middle, written by Willis Cooper and first broadcast March 6, 1935, under the title After 5 O'Clock. It's an excellent example of Cooper's experiments with stream of consciousness and internal monologue. Arch Obler retitled the episode The Man in the Middle and included it in his limited series revivals of Lights Out, 1942 to 1947. This is the August 25, 1945 iteration, broadcast via the Armed Forces Radio Service.
I didn't have to stay here and work all day. I wish I could take a vacation and go to Bermuda or Nassau or Florida or somewhere. The grass is green in Bermuda. Green grass in March and the sky is blue instead of all gray and the sun is shining. I wish I was in Bermuda. I'm so tired and worried. Wish I had a big office with a nice davenport in it so I could lie down and sleep whenever I wanted to. I won't get to bed till all hours tonight. Here comes Patricia. Pretty girl. Patricia's a pretty girl. If Lucille knew about Patricia, she'd probably divorce me. I wouldn't like that very well. I wouldn't like it at all.
I brought in those letters, Johnny. The ones about the stamping machine.
Oh, thanks, honey. You've got too much lipstick on. I suppose I've got to kiss you.
Oh, don't, Johnny.
That's the old stuff. If I didn't kiss you, you'd probably get sore. You're all right, Patricia, but I wish you wouldn't. Well, I don't know what I wish. I like to kiss you, but I don't like to have you expecting it all the time. Oh, come on. Give me just one little kiss, Pat. Come on.
Johnny, please.
Come on, sweetheart. Now, I suppose I've got lipstick all over me. Patricia, you've got too much perfume on, and you know how I hate the stuff. And that green dress. I give you money to buy new clothes, and you wear that dreadful green thing all the time. Love me a little, Patsy?
Oh, I love you, Johnny. I do love you. You darling.
Well, that's all right. Only don't love me too much, baby. If Lucille finds it out, she'll tear your hair out. She's tough, Lucille is. The time she slapped that Flynn gal at the club.
Now, Johnny, stop. You've got to get those letters signed. Go ahead and sign them.
Oh, there's no rush about the letters, but there is a rush about them. They've got to get off in the airmail.
There is, too. They've got to go airmail to the coast tonight, and I've got to get them ready for Hal to take to the post office. Now, you start signing them while I fix my face.
Oh, Pat.
Oh, go ahead.
Smart girl. She'd like to neck, but she knows her business. She's all right. Yes, sir, she's all right. John R. Phillips. John R. Phillips. John R. Phillips. John R. Phillips. 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 I've got a funny name. Phillips. Nice signature. Wonder what a handwriting expert would say about it. Wish I could go to the coast along with these letters. Fly to the coast.
I'll come in after 5 o'clock, shall I, Johnny?
Uh-huh.
I'll come in after 5 o'clock.
Oh, swell. Bet. I wish you wouldn't come in after 5 o'clock. I get tired of this business, Patricia. I wish I could go down to the bar at 5 o'clock and have a drink. I'd have a Manhattan, and maybe I'd have another. And then I'd catch the 5:19 and go home and have dinner and read the paper and go to bed early. Well, they're all finished, darling.
Oh, that's a good boy. You get one more kiss now for doing your work tonight.
Thank you, Patsy. You sweet girl. I wish I was in Bermuda. I wish I didn't have to stay here. That perfume smells awful. I don't like it. I hope nobody opens the door suddenly. Hurry up, take the letters and go away. If Lucille should open that door and look in here, she'd scratch your eyes out, Patricia. Hurry up and get this kissing over with.
Oh, you're so sweet, Johnny.
You're pretty sweet yourself, Patsy. Stop calling me Johnny. Stop it. Don't call me Johnny. Phillips is bad enough. Johnny, Johnny. It sounds like a 10-year-old kid. Go on, take the letters and get out. Please, Patricia.
See you after 5 o'clock, darling.
Okay, darling. Wonder what time it is. I wish Patricia would leave me alone. I can't get any work done today. I wish I'd gone to bed early last night. I wish I could go to bed early tonight. There's that silly bridge party. I hate bridge. I wish I could play bridge real good so I could win a lot of money. How much money can you win playing bridge? I could go to Bermuda if I could play bridge good enough to make a lot of money at it. Why do people have to call me up on the telephone? I suppose it's somebody I don't want to talk to. Somebody I owe money to. Maybe it's Lucille. Maybe it's Keene Crockett. Maybe it's Frank Loughran. Maybe it's... Hello? It's Lucille. What's she calling me up for? Oh, hello, dear. I wonder if she suspects anything about Patricia. I wonder if she... Well, where have you been? She never comes downtown suddenly like this. Oh, is that so? Well, how was the show? You're a nice girl, Lucille. I like you. I love you, Lucille. I love you better than Patricia. All right. What time? She comes up here to the office and runs into Patricia. 5:30? That'll give me time enough. Oh, I'll meet you, dear. Where'll you be? That's better. I can get out of the office. Too bad for you, Patricia. All right, honey. 5:30 at the Creon Bar. Okay. Goodbye, darling. Still have time to neck with Patricia a few minutes before I go. That's all right. Yes, sir, that's all right. It'd be just too bad if Lucille came here. She wouldn't come here, though. She hasn't been in the office in 6 months. Or is it 7 months? 6 or 7 months. She always calls up. Who's this guy? His face is familiar. What's he doing here? Who is he? Who are you, fellow? What do you want in my office? How did you get in? Well, young man, did you want to see me?
Are you John Phillips?
Yes. Who are you? Your face is familiar. I don't know who you are. How did you get in here?
I'm Patricia's brother.
Patricia's brother? Now, what's he going to do? He can't do anything. He doesn't know anything about Patricia. Me. He doesn't know. I didn't do anything.
You're Patricia's brother?
Well, I
came here to tell you that I want you to let her alone.
No, I'm in for it. He's a big fellow. He'll probably beat me up and my name will be in the paper.
I'm afraid I don't understand, young man. You understand all right, Mr. Phillips. I want you to let her alone.
If he starts to hit me, I'll stab him with this paper knife. He could beat me.
Well, this is... Patricia is... Well, what do you mean?
I'm talking like a fool. I never could keep my head when I'm scared. He thinks I'm a fool. I am a fool.
You're married, aren't you, Mr. Phillips?
He knows all about me. He'll beat me up and he'll tell Lucille and...
But yes, I'm married.
What about it? I'll pick up the paper knife.
I don't want any married men running around with my sister. I'm man enough to stop it. Is that plain?
Why, who do you think you are? You think you're going to talk to me like that? You don't know that I've got a gun in my desk.
Well, Well, you see, this is all very innocent, you know. Patricia and I, well...
I know. Talking like a fool, like a fool, like a fool.
I'm just warning you, Mr. Phillips. I won't warn you again. Just let me say this. I was welterweight champion of my brigade in the Army. So take my advice and let Patricia alone.
You'd better not make a pass at me. I'd shoot you. I'd kill you. I'm not going to be beaten up.
Well, I... I'm sorry.
I'll be talking like a fool, a fool, a fool.
That's all. Don't forget.
There isn't anything wrong between Patricia and me. There isn't anything wrong. I've just kissed her a few times. She's a nice girl. I wouldn't harm her. She likes me. We're perfectly innocent. He could beat me up without half trying. I'd kill him, though. I'd have to kill him. It would be self-defense. It would be. Of course it would. He wouldn't do anything to me. Why, you young punk, you've got a lot of nerve coming into my office like that and threatening me. I could have you arrested. I could call up Chief Alstrom and have you put in jail for threatening me. I'm John R. Phillips. Phillips. I know what I'll do. Coming into my office and threatening me when I haven't done a thing.
Hello, Patricia.
Her brother. What do you know about that? Her brother. I didn't know she had a brother.
But Patricia, did you see the visitor I just had?
Probably didn't see him. She wouldn't let him come in.
Your brother.
Didn't know anything about it. I knew she didn't.
Well, he came in to tell me to let you alone.
I should have hit him. If I'd have hit him, he'd have probably killed me.
No, I'm not kidding. He came in here and told me if I didn't let you alone, he'd beat me up.
He could do it, too. Only not if I got the gun first. I'd kill him. Sure, I'd kill him. I wonder what it's like to kill somebody. I wonder.
Well, I just thought you'd like to know.
It's never had anything like that happened to me in all my life. Notoriety.
Well, never mind. You love me?
I'm an idiot for keeping on with it. I'll get myself in a jam that I can't get out of.
Okay. After 5 o'clock.
After 5 o'clock, he'll probably be waiting for her outside, or maybe he'll come up here. I have to get away quick, too, so I can meet Lucille after 5 o'clock. After 5 o'clock. long until 5 o'clock. Another day finished. I wish Patricia would hurry. I have to get away. I can't make Lucille wait. She'll be suspicious. I wish she wasn't so suspicious always. I wonder if that brother of Patricia's is still outside. I wish she'd come in. Here she comes now. What do I see in her? She's beautiful, but I'd hate to be married to her. Hello, Patsy. The way she eats ice cream, she licks it off the spoon. It makes me sick.
Oh, Johnny, what in the world did Tom say?
He said plenty. He scared me to death. Tom? Who's Tom? Oh, your brother. Why, he said I had to let you alone, that's all.
He did? Johnny, did he threaten you?
Well, he warned me that he'd been welterweight champion of something or other. He said he was welterweight champion of his brigade. How big is a brigade?
Oh, Johnny, he's terrible. He beat a man just awfully, just because the man spoke to me in the street car.
Well, he won't beat me, not if I can get to my gun. I guess I'll carry the gun with me in my pocket. Well, you want me to let you alone, darling?
Oh, Johnny.
I wish you'd say yes. I wish you'd say yes, let me alone forever. I wish you... Well, Patsy?
Oh, Johnny.
Cut out that bawling. You look terrible when you bawl. Your face is all screwed up. You make a terrible face. Cut it out. You look terrible. Don't cry, sweetheart. Please don't cry, honey. Bawling like a kid. Making awful faces. Your mouth open. Looks awful. Women look terrible when they bawl. I wish I'd never seen you. Patricia, stop bawling. Don't cry, honey. It's all right. I guess I'd better let you alone, Patricia, after all. I've got no business loving you. And going on this way, I'm just a fool, I guess. That's a good thing. Only trouble is it makes it bawl even more. Will you pipe down? Will you stop that? Shut up. Stop bawling. Patricia, if your brother comes in here now.
John, I love you so. I can't give you up.
It's just fine. Only, baby, you'd better give me up. This is going to get me in a jam. I know it is. There, Patsy, darling. Stop crying now and kiss me. Come on. Kiss me.
Oh, Johnny.
Why do I do these dumb things? Why don't I say, go on, get out, let me alone? I don't want to get beaten up. I don't care about you, Patricia. I really love Lucille, but you're pretty nice and you kiss nice, only you're getting lipstick all over me.
Oh, Johnny, please. Please don't give me up, will you, Johnny? I love you, Johnny.
Oh, darling. Johnny, I wish you'd stop calling me Johnny. I wish you'd go. I have to go and meet Lucille.
Oh, Tom beat you up. I don't know what I'll do, Johnny.
You won't beat me up, sweetheart. Don't you worry. Now, kiss me. I hope you won't beat me up. I guess I can ease out of this all right somehow. I don't know how, but I'll ease out of it. Patricia, you're all right, but I'm not going to play around with any girl with a tough brother. No, sir, not me. Kiss me again, Patsy, darling. I love you. Now, why did I say I love her? I'm crazy. I'm a fool. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't want to say I love you. I don't love you. You're nice, but I don't love you. I don't. I love Lucille. Lucille is probably waiting for me right now.
Oh, John. I love you, too.
If I mess now, I don't love you. I kind of feel sorry for you, but I don't love you. I don't love you, Patricia. It would be a terrible thing being married to you, and the next thing you'll start talking about divorcing Lucille, and I won't. I love Lucille. The door's opening. Who is it? It's Lucille.
Well, a very pretty little tableau, indeed.
Now I'm in a fix. What do I do? I can't explain to Lucille that I don't love Patricia. I can't. What do I do? Oh, God, help me. Please, God, help me. Help me. Get out of this. Help.
Who is this woman, John?
The way she said woman. Why, Miss Parmalee? Mrs. Phillips. I must be a fool introducing Miss Olivia at a party.
Perhaps you can explain what this is all about, John?
Well, Lucille... Well, you see, Miss Parmalee,
I think I can explain, Mrs. Phillips.
Well,
I love Johnny, that's all.
She said she loves me. Now what can I do, Lucille? Believe me, please, I don't love her. I don't. Oh, God, please help me out of this.
How very interesting. And Johnny loves you, I take it?
No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't love her. I love you, Lucille.
Yes. He loves me, too.
I do not love you. I love Lucille.
Is this true, John?
Yes. I love her, Lucille.
I did not. I lied. I'm a fool. Why did I say that?
You really love this little tramp, John.
Who are you calling a tramp? You can't.
I called you a tramp, young woman.
Well, I'll scratch your... Ouch!
No,
I will scratch your eyes.
I hit her, Lucille. She got me into this mess. Oh, stop. Stop it, Lucille. Patricia, stop it. Stop it, I say. Now stop this, both of you. Lucille, let go of her, Patricia. Now, sit down here, both of you. Won't do either of you any good, do I?
John, my dress is all torn.
That eventful green dress, I'm glad it's torn. Lucille beat you up pretty well. Lucille's a good scrapper. Nice work, Lucille. It's all right, darling. Now, sit down here. Darling, I'm a fool. I don't like you. I don't.
I'm sorry I lost my temper, Miss Parmalee. I'm sorry.
I hate you.
Oh, shut up. Don't you talk to Lucille that way. Now, Patricia, darling, please.
Oh, John,
John, how long has this been going on?
It's been going on for a long time. We love each other.
You do not. She just thinks she does me, and I don't love her at all. I don't, Lucille. I don't.
Oh, I see.
No, you don't see, Lucille. You don't see.
I suppose you want me to divorce John, then, so you and he can be married?
Oh, Lucille, don't divorce me. What'll I do without you? What'll I do? Please, Lucille, don't divorce me. Why, I love you, Lucille. We love each other.
Is that right, Miss?
Yes, that's right.
Don't listen to her, Lucille. Don't listen to her, please. Don't listen to her, Lucille. I don't want to marry her.
What do you think, John?
I don't want to divorce, Lucille. I don't want anything but you. Oh, no, Lucille. Please, Lucille, don't. Well, it's up to you, Lucille. Why did I say that? Why did I? No, don't divorce me, Lucille. I can't live without you. I'll die, Lucille. I'll die without you if I could only explain. Who's that? I bet it's her brother. I knew he'd come up here. Oh, why did this have to happen to me? Oh, go away. Please go away.
You better go to the door, John.
I can't go to the door. Oh, Lucille, I can't. Oh, Lucille, I love you.
Hello?
Is Patricia here?
I knew he'd come. I knew it. Now it's going to start all over again. What can I do? What can I do?
Yes, she's here. Come in. Patricia, I've come to take you home.
She'll only go with him if she'll just go with him and go away from here.
I won't go with you,
Tom. Go with him, Patricia, and never come back.
And who is this, may I ask?
I'm Patricia's brother. I don't know who you are.
I'm Mrs. Phillips.
Now he'll tell her that he came up here to warn me this afternoon, and it'll be worse than ever. Oh, why did this have to happen to me? Oh, why did it?
You seem to have stepped in on a very pleasant little scene, Mrs. Phillips. You have my sympathy.
Thank you. You knew about this, I take it?
Yes. Come on, Patricia.
I think Patricia prefers to remain here.
Oh, Lucille, please, Lucille, don't. I love you, Lucille. Let him take her. Go on, get out, both of you, get out.
Patricia, we're getting out of this. We're going home.
No, I'm going to stay right here. You can't make me go, Tom.
Yes, you can. You're her brother. Make her go. I'll go crazy. I know I will. I can't stand this. I can't. Oh, please make her go.
Mrs. Phillips, I'm sorry. My sister...
Go on, take her. Make her go with you. Make her go. Make her go. At least take her away. Please do. Lucille, make him take her away. Make him take her.
I know. It's all right. Only... It seems to be rather complicated.
Come on, Patricia.
You let me alone.
I won't do it. Take her away. Make her go with you. Go on.
Let her alone, Tom. Phillips, I don't know why I don't beat you within an inch of your worthless life.
If you make a move, I'll get the pistol out of the desk and kill you. I'll kill you, all of you. You and your sister and Lucille and myself. I'll kill you all.
Tom, I don't think that would do a great deal of good.
No, I suppose it wouldn't.
Well, John, we might as well talk this out. No use going insane, as we did a few moments ago. There must be a way out. Sit down.
Oh, Lucille, if I could only explain to you, if I could only tell you, but you wouldn't believe me. I can't tell you.
I don't think there's anything to talk about. You simply have to divorce him.
No, Lucille, don't listen to her. I don't want to marry her. I don't want her.
Sit down, John.
Oh, Lucille, you've always helped me. Please get me out of this. Please do, Lucille. I love you. Please get me out of this. Dear God, please help Lucille. Get me out of this. Please, God.
Now, Mr. Parmalee, is it? You're sure you want John badly enough to take him away from you?
She can't have me, Lucille. She can't have me. If you divorce me, Lucille, I'll kill myself. I will. I'll die. I can't live without you, Lucille. Oh, Lucille, you know me so well. You love me, Lucille. This girl is nothing to me. Lucille, don't forget me. Lucille, don't forget how we loved each other all the time in school.
I'm perfectly sure. You've got to divorce me.
You won't let me go, Lucille. You won't just throw me away. I wish I had a cigarette. Where are the cigarettes?
Yeah,
they're in the desk drawer. Cigarettes. Oh, there's the pistol. Lucille, if you throw me away, if you divorce me, you'll kill me. I'll take the pistol and blow my brain out. It feels like to blow my brain out. I wonder. I'll find out if you let me go, Lucille. I'll kill myself. I will. I will.
Mrs. Phillips, Patricia's too young to know exactly what she does want. She's a flighty kid. She doesn't really love your husband. He's just, well, fascinating to her because, well, he's a successful businessman and...
Successful businessman. If this gets into the papers, I'll be a successful businessman. I'll be a fool. I am a fool. A fool. Oh, why does this have to happen to me? It can't happen to me. It's a dream.
I don't care what Tom says about me, Mrs. Phillips. He thinks I'm just a baby, but I'm old enough to know my own mind.
You're a fool too, Patricia. We're all fools. Fools. I don't want you. Oh, Lucille, look at me. Lucille, please look at me. I love you, Lucille. If you'll just look at me, you'll know I love you. Please, Lucille.
John isn't the easiest person in the world to get along with, young woman.
You got along with me, Lucille. I know I'm hard to get along with. I'm crazy, and I'm cruel, but you love me. You love me enough to fight over me. You got along with me. You're the wisest person in the world. You love me, Lucille.
I don't care. I love him, and I'm going to marry him.
No, you're not. If Lucille won't have me,
I'll
kill myself. I think I'll kill myself with a pistol
right
in the desk drawer. I will. I will.
Well, let's ask John about it. John, you really and truly love this girl?
No, I don't love her, Lucille. I don't love her. I don't, I say. Lucille, I love you. You.
John?
I...
Of course you love me, Johnny, darling.
Yes, I...
I said it again. Something's wrong with my head. I can't think. I don't know what it is. I guess I'm going crazy. Oh, what have I done? I've lost you, Lucille. I've lost you, dearest.
Lucille,
I can't talk. I'm crazy. My head is all wrong. I don't know what's the matter with you. Lucille, if you could only see my thoughts, if you only could know how I love you. I can't stand this. I can't.
This is all very painful, Mrs. Phillips.
If you'd only take your sister and take her away from here and let me talk to Lucille, I could make Lucille understand. Oh, Lucille, don't look at me like that. Lucille, if you'd only come over here to me and put your hand on my shoulder, everything would be all right. You'd understand.
Patricia, I...
Oh, Johnny, darling.
Sit down, Patricia.
That's right. Make her sit down. She's a fool. She's a fool. Oh, what am I going to do? What can I do? What, Lucille, dearest? What?
Miss Parmalee, I'd love John a great deal.
Oh, Lucille, you do love me now. You don't want to lose me. I know what you're thinking. Lucille, you'll give me up because you love me. You want me to be happy. Oh, Lucille, I've never been good enough for you. You're the most wonderful woman in the world. I love you, Lucille. I love you.
But I'm afraid I love him a great deal.
Lucille, darling, why can't we end all this business? And then you and I can go home. We're going to play bridge tonight. Come on, let's quit pretending. It's like a play. Take Patricia out of here, Tom. Take her away.
I know. I'm sorry. I can't help loving him, Mrs. Phillips. It's terrible, I know, but I do love him.
Oh, God, what can I do? What can I do?
I know, my dear. Well, John, I suppose you could see Carl Beldy about the divorce. I'm sorry you had to be this way.
Lucille, you can't do this. You can't. You're not going to let me go. You're not going to divorce me.
Lucille,
I'll kill myself. The pistol is right here in the drawer. I'll shoot myself. I've got to, Lucille. I won't let you go. No, I won't, Lucille. I'll kill myself, Lucille. Oh, Lucille, don't you see I love you? It's no use. I've got to do it. Oh, I'm afraid to. I can't go on living without you. I can't.
Put down that gun.
No, I won't, Tom. Goodbye, Lucy. Goodbye, baby. I've done it. I don't feel any different. Blood all over.
I'm dead. Oh, Lucy. I love you, Lucy. I love you always, Lucy.
Yes. Oh, Johnny, darling. You.
Patricia, Pat.
He did it because of you, Mrs. Phil. Oh, I'll get even.
Oh, Lucy. Where did you come from, Lucy? Oh, Lucy, I love you.
I know you love me, John. I love you. That's why I had to give you up. I love you, John. I love you.
We'll always be together. Won't we, Lucy?
Johnny. Johnny, I can't go on without you. Johnny, John. Johnny, Johnny.
Pat, please. No, Pat, don't.
Goodbye, Tom. I'm sorry it's such a mess.
Lucille, I love you. Love you. Love you. I've never loved anybody but you.
Johnny, I'm here. I'm waiting, Johnny. I love you. I love you.
Oh, no. Patricia. Lucille. Where are you, Lucille? Now it's got to start all over again. All over again. Over again.
John. John, dear. Aren't you going to wake up?
What? Where am I?
You're in bed, darling.
Huh?
Where'd you think you were?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I was dreaming. Is it really you, Lucille? You're really here. There's nobody with you.
Of course not, silly. Who in the world would be with me? Hurry up now and get dressed. I'll have your breakfast ready.
Oh, yeah. Breakfast.
Scrambled eggs and bacon, too. You go back to sleep now. You'll be an hour late getting to the office as it is. I'll see you downstairs.
All right, honey. Oh, boy. What a dream. Ooh. Hello, this is John Phillips. Will you connect me with my secretary, please? Hello, Patricia. This is Mr. Phillips. No, not Johnny. Mr. Phillips. I won't be down to the office today, but in the meantime, I want you to go to the cashier and get your check. You're fired.
That was The Man in the Middle, originally written by Willis Cooper and reprised by Arch Obler. It's an excellent example of Cooper's use of internal monologue as a narrative device. Obler does a fine job of elaborating on this technique. This is Reimagined Radio, a program about radio, theater, and sound-based storytelling. More information about listening opportunities, including our YouTube channel and podcast, is available at our website, reimaginedradio.fm/listen. Episodes of Reimagined Radio are produced in collaboration with the Electronic Literature Lab at Washington State University, Vancouver, and are broadcast and streamed by partner radio stations around the country. Our production team includes Mark Rose, Holly Slocum, Evan Layden, Rylan Eisenhower, and Caitlin Kruger-Lesperance. Engage with Reimagined Radio on social media and our YouTube channel, @ReimaginedRadio. Visit our website, reimaginedradio.fm, for scripts and information about our episodes. Subscribe to the Reimagined Radio podcast, and we'll send you each new episode as soon as it's released. I'm John Barber, producer and host. It's been a pleasure sharing this episode with you. Thank you for listening.
This is a production of Reimagined Radio. To learn more, visit our website, reimaginedradio, all one word, no punctuation, .fm. Please join us for another episode of Reimagined Radio as we continue our exploration of sound-based storytelling.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from North Coast Pinball, Nehalem's Little Pinball Sanctuary, located on Highway 101 next to North Coast Mudworks. North Coast Pinball offers monthly tournaments and a selection of games from the 1970s to the present. Learn more at northcoastpinball.com.
X-Ray is thrilled to announce that we are officially moving to a new home in Southeast Portland. In partnership with Kickstand Comedy, X-Ray's new headquarters will be at the corner of Southeast 10th and Hawthorne beginning this fall. Our transition to this new location will enable X-Ray to make better radio and engage with the public in a new accessible arts and civics hub where we will host a broad array of events and gatherings. Go to xray.fm to learn more about the move and how